16 this morning in your Bible, and to be looking the next few weeks at some messages here from the life of Elijah. The Lord, I believe, as you look at His Word, as we have our theme for this year, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We understand that the Lord has graciously revealed His greatness to us through His Word, and we have examined several portions of Scripture this year in our quest to discover the greatness of God, and I'm so thankful that God has given us a Bible, and not only has He told us that He's great, but He's demonstrated His greatness for us, and we have the privilege of being able to study a variety of portions of Scripture and understanding, discovering the greatness of God. As we move into the latter part of the year, we'll shift gears slightly and deal with, now that we've discovered God's greatness, it is important that we then declare God's greatness, for we have a great God and He is to be declared. We mentioned this as we started the year, that creation reveals God's greatness. And we said that through creation, we see the power of God, we see the wisdom of God on display, and we find that God's greatness is demonstrated, is revealed to us through creation. We spent a number of weeks dealing with various aspects of creation and what God's Word tells us about creation, and I'm so thankful that the Creator God is also my helper and my deliverer, and He is my Redeemer, obviously, as we get into the truth of redemption. Begin to think about the truth that the deliverance of God reveals His greatness. Again, you see His great power. You see the fact that He's our great helper. We mentioned that inspiration reveals God's greatness. We dealt with the inspiration of God's Word. I'm so thankful that this is not man's word about God, that this is the Word of God. And the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what a joy and a blessing. Not only did we say that inspiration reveals God's greatness, but preservation reveals God's greatness. It's a wonderful thing that He inspired the originals, but we don't have the originals, but He promised to preserve His Word. And what a blessing to have the truth of preservation and to understand this morning that we can have confidence in the book that we hold in our hands, knowing that God has promised to preserve His Word. And by the way, God cannot lie. He always does what He says He will do, and He obviously used people. The Bible tells us that He exalts His Word above His very name, and He is in His wisdom and in His grace and mercy, He provided for us His Word so that we could know Him, and obviously we are without excuse because He has given us His Word. I mentioned this for a couple of weeks, that His love demonstrates, reveals to us His greatness. We read about His great love, and I'm so thankful. The songwriter said, "Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, didst die for me?" Amazing love. And God's love reveals to us just how great He is. The last couple of weeks, we've dealt with the truth of God's mercy, and God's mercy revealing His greatness. For the next couple of messages, we'd like to examine how God's care for us reveals His greatness. And we will consider some of the events from the life of Elijah, because I believe that it so obviously reveals how God cares for His people. And God's care for us, you think about the billions of people that are upon the face of the earth today, and nearing 8 billion people in population, and it is hard for us to wrap our mind around that number. There are believers all around the globe. There are people all around the globe that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we can rejoice in that. We've had opportunity to meet believers, brothers and sisters in Christ from all sorts of places. As you travel abroad, you have the opportunity, maybe not to be able to speak with someone in the language that they speak, but you still have that bond in Christ, and there's just something about that, and it's so precious, and it's so wonderful. And the amazing thing about our great God is that He cares about you the same way He cares about the someone on the other side of the globe and every other person in between, all of His children. He cares for us. And what a blessing to understand God's care. And I believe that God's care for His children reveals just how great He is. As we look at the life of Elijah, it's interesting. Elijah just comes on the pages of Scripture, seemingly out of obscurity. The Bible just declares in verse number 1 of 1 Kings 17, "And Elijah the Tishbite." We don't have any reference of Elijah prior to this. Obviously, from this point forward, for a number of chapters, we'll read several things about the life and ministry of Elijah. But from obscurity, it seems as if Elijah just comes upon the pages of Scripture in this particular time of history, in Israel's history, when Israel is far from God, when Israel is Ahab is a wicked king, and we find that Elijah comes on the scene. And notice the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." That's a bold declaration. The boldness of Elijah, it will not be the focus of our message this morning, but we know that Elijah knew some things. He understood things, some things about God. He understood that God lives, that God is a living God. He says this, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth," notice what he says, "before whom I stand." When we stand and serve the Lord God Almighty, when we're going in His power and His might, we can stand before even the most wicked of kings, as you see Ahab here, and we can deliver what thus saith the Lord. And we find that it was God who was giving this instruction and this command to Elijah, and this particular message of judgment that is delivered by Elijah to King Ahab. Obviously, Elijah, in obedience to the Lord, delivering this message of divine judgment, we find that the Bible then continues in verse number 2 and says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," Elijah, "saying." Notice what the Bible says in verse 3 down through verse number 7. "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." The Bible tells us in verse number 7, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." As we look at this portion of Scripture this morning and we consider God's care for His servant Elijah, and obviously God's care for us, I've titled the message based on the portion of Scripture where God says this in verse number 3, "Hide thyself by the brook Cherith." Hide thyself by the brook Cherith. I would say this morning, that God's care, number 1, if you're taking notes, God's care is evidenced through guidance. God's care is evidenced through guidance. Because God cares about His people, He provides His people with guidance, with direction. And I think about the truth here in the life of Elijah. As Elijah is standing there before King Ahab, king of Israel, this wicked man, the Bible describes Ahab in verse number 33 of chapter number 16 this way, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." And that's not really something to be proud about. He is a wicked man, an ungodly man, and we find that Elijah is going to stand in his presence in obedience to the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God of Israel that liveth, and he's going to stand there and deliver a message of divine judgment. That message of divine judgment, we understand that the impact of that judgment would be severe, and it would be far-reaching. You find that Elijah would suffer from the consequences of this drought that is announced in verse number 1. It says that there shall be not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. A drought is a very serious form of judgment. We find that the impacts are quite severe and far-reaching. There are times in which we have in our lives experienced maybe some windows where there's a couple of weeks without rain, and we begin to see the impact on that even so quickly. But can you imagine for years with no rain? Years. The impact would be severe. The impact would be far-reaching. But I find in the text of Scripture, as I mentioned, that God's care is evidenced through guidance, that after Elijah delivers this message of divine judgment, that the Lord came unto him and spoke to him, according to verse number 2, and gave him guidance, provided him with direction. The Bible says, "Get thee hence," in verse number 3, "and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." Now, it's interesting to me that as I look at the guidance that God so graciously provides in verse number 3, revealing to us his great care for his servant, that this guidance, this direction that is provided is clear and it's direct. God was very clear in how he had given this instruction, this guidance to his servant Elijah. He didn't just say, "Hey, go eastward." How far eastward? To what place? When have I arrived to the place where I'm to be? No, we find that God very specifically, he says, "Turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." He gave him a specific location. He provided him with the exact guidance that he would need. This morning, if we'd be honest, we each need guidance in our lives. We need God's divine direction. We need his leadership in our lives. I'm thankful as you look at the Old Testament, you begin to study the Old Testament and the children of Israel during the time in which they left Egypt in the wilderness wanderings, you find that God graciously and supernaturally led his people through some amazing means in which he gave them guidance and clear direction. It was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and it was so obvious, and as the pillar of cloud would move and the pillar of fire would move, they would follow the leadership. And even though they were following the leadership of God Almighty, you would find that there were times, many times in fact, that the children of Israel would complain about the way and what they discovered or found, the hardships that they encountered. And I will say this, that there are times in which God is guiding us and leading us, and he may lead us directly into a time of difficulty. It was God who told the disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. And as they obeyed the Lord, there was a great storm. They were following the direction of God. But in so doing, they encountered a storm. And what was it that God was going to do? He was going to reveal more of his attributes, more of his power to his people. And he was going to deliver them through that. And we find that God provides guidance. And here, for the servant Elijah, God comes and speaks to him and gives him guidance. I'm thankful this morning, unlike Elijah, this morning we have the whole Bible. We have the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. If you've been saved this morning, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, that our bodies, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us, which we have of God. We understand that God provides us with guidance and direction through his Word and through his Spirit. And the direction is clear. The guidance that God provides to Elijah is clear and it is direct. It is not difficult for Elijah to be able to understand what it is that God is giving him the guidance, and it's not complicated. Notice that with the guidance came a promise. That's what the Bible says in verse number 4 of 1 Kings 17. The Bible says, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook." And then notice this promise. "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Do you think about the Lord God Almighty providing guidance to his servant Elijah, revealing to us his great care for his servant? But we find also that he gave commandment to the ravens. By the way, the ravens are God's creation. It's interesting to me, as you study through the scriptures, you'll find that outside of humans, God's creation always obey him. I'm pretty confident that Jonah, the disobedient prophet, was thankful that that great fish was obedient to God. And then the disobedient prophet became an obedient prophet after his encounter and after all that had taken place. But we find here, notice he says, God tells Elijah that there at this place, Cherith, the brook that God has given him the direction, the guidance to go to this place, he says, you'll drink of the water there, but he says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we're to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We're to lean not on our own understanding. If you know anything about ravens, and I'm assuming that Elijah knew some things about ravens, that maybe there'd be reason to wonder, how are the ravens? Like, how is this going to work? We don't see anywhere in the passage of Scripture that Elijah doubts or questions or even hesitates at the command and the promise that are revealed to him. And as we look at the passage of Scripture and we see what's taking place and we see God's care evidenced through guidance this morning for his servant, for Elijah, I'm so thankful, as I've mentioned already, that today God continues to provide guidance for his children. Why does he guide us? Why is it that he'd be concerned in your life, in my life, in providing us with guidance? Why would the God of the universe, when you and when I are in a position in our lives and we enter into the presence of God and we're praying and we're saying, God, I need your guidance. I need your direction. God, would you please provide me with leadership? Why does he? Why? Because he loves us and he cares about us. I think about my children, and many of you have children this morning, and at some point you were a child. As a child, you might ask your parents for some guidance. You might seek the counsel of your parents with regard to decisions that have to be made and what have you. And I'm always thankful. It's a blessing to me when my children will contact me for guidance. You know, it's interesting now, as a parent of a married child, is the encouragement that comes when a married child will contact you for guidance. Because there's still a level of understanding, of respect, and the wisdom. Not that I'm saying that I'm some wise individual, but you understand what I'm saying. And this morning, when you begin to think about a child coming and seeking the guidance of a parent, we understand that. But why do we give guidance to our children? Why is it? Listen, there are times in which my children will say something like this, and it always bothers me when they say this. They'll say, Daddy, I know that you're busy, but... And I say, no, I am not. I don't ever want you to think I'm too busy for you. I want them to come and to ask, and why? Because I care about them. I love them. I want to provide them with guidance. And our Heavenly Father, who knows everything, who knows the end from the beginning, who is Alpha and Omega, though you do not know what's on the morrow, He does. And He provides us with guidance. He provides us with direction because He loves us. I want you to think about a few verses of Scripture in the book of Psalms. If you turn to Psalm chapter 5, look at just a few verses here in the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm chapter number 5. Speaking of the truth of the guidance, the leadership of God Almighty. Notice the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 5, a psalm that is ascribed to David. In verse number 8, notice what he says. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Notice what he says. Make thy way straight before my face. Make thy way straight before my face. I'm mindful of what the psalmist will say in Psalm 27 in verse number 11, where the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. How often in my life I pray that God would make the path plain and that God would make the path straight. that God would give clear guidance and direction as I seek His face. And I believe that God is delighted when we as His children seek His face for guidance. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, in verse number 24, a psalm that is ascribed to Asaph. Getting to the end of the psalm, and it's so precious and powerful to see the great contrast as to how he starts the psalm and how he ends the psalm. But notice in verse number 23, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." Can you get the imagery here? Can you see as a parent would hold their hand of their child, and God is our Heavenly Father and we as His children. And it says this, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory." I hope that this morning each of us would follow the leadership and guidance of God all the days of our lives, and then He would receive us to glory, that when we take that final breath here upon this earth, that we enter into His very presence and understanding that we've been guided with God's counsel. Where do we find God's counsel? His Word. His Word. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 119, a verse of Scripture that is quite familiar to us in Psalm 119. As you begin to consider the guidance and how God's care is evidenced for His people through His guidance. And I'm so thankful that God provided guidance to Elijah. But this morning, I must rest and understand that He continues to provide guidance for me and for you this morning in our lives. Psalm 109 and verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I'm thankful for the guidance that God gives through His Word, His counsel, His wisdom that is contained therein. I've said this often as I've counseled with individuals. I've said this often as I've preached from God's Word, that God will never lead you contrary to His Word. God will not lead you contrary to His Word. God will never lead you to do something that contradicts a principle that He has placed within this book. God's guidance and God's leadership in your life will always be consistent with what God says in His Word. "Well, you don't understand, Pastor. God's just guiding me to do this." No, He's not. And I can say that because of the authority of God's Word. Now, I understand that there are places in which you can look to and you say, "Well, God's guiding me to move to this place or go to this place." You're not going to find a specific verse of Scripture that's going to say, you know, so-and-so, you should live in this place or do this thing. But you understand that as we look to God's Word, that God provides us with the guidance that we need. We follow His leadership. God's care for Elijah, God's care for us this morning is evidenced through His guidance. Turn back to 1 Kings 17, if you will. I would say not only is God's care evidenced through guidance, but God's care is evidenced through sustenance. Through sustenance. The obedience of Elijah is noted in verse number 5 of our text of Scripture, where the Bible simply says this, "So he," speaking of Elijah, "went and did according unto the word of the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful truth as God would record for us the obedience of Elijah? Listen, obedience is absolutely imperative. As God would provide us with guidance and direction in our lives, that we would submit to His leadership, that we would obey the direction that He's given to us in our lives. Listen, if Elijah decided, "Well, Lord, I know You told me to go to the brook Cherith, and I know You told me to go over there, but I think I know better. I think I understand the terrain and the situation better, so I'm going to go over to this place because in my mind it's going to be better for me there." No ravens are going to show up there. Why? Because God said specifically at the end of verse number 4, "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." There. Every word is important. He didn't just say, "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." "I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Where's there? The brook Cherith. a specific location. And the Bible tells us that Elijah is immediately obedient to the word of the Lord. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And thank God for the obedience of Elijah. For we find that through his obedience that he sustained this through this period of time, and the sustenance is there. We find that he receives a personal delivery of both bread and flesh in the morning and again in the evening by the ravens. This is absolutely amazing. You say, I'm familiar with the portion of Scripture. I hope that you take a fresh approach to God's word this morning. I believe that if we took a survey and we came in this morning and said, what happened at the Brook Cherith? Most of us, if not all of us, would have said that Elijah went there and he drank of the brook and the ravens brought him food. We're aware of it. But I want you to see how God is caring for his servant and how he's using the ravens to bring each morning. Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 5. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Can you imagine? In my mind's eye, I see Elijah. I mean, he goes to the place, Tim, where God told him to go, and he gets there. And on that first morning, guess what? Here come the ravens. Yes. The ravens are just like God said, the ravens are coming. And sure enough, they bring up. Now, ravens are scavengers. Ravens like to steal your lunch, not bring you lunch. You understand what I'm saying? Am I telling the truth? Ravens don't want to bring you lunch, but God commanded them. God commanded them. And God's creation obeys him. And those ravens came there to the brook Cherith, and they brought Elijah a meal, bread and flesh. And the Bible says that he drank of the brook in verse number 6. I don't know how long Elijah was at the brook Cherith. I'm not sure of the length of time that he was there. But for however long he was there, each morning and each evening, there was a personal delivery for Elijah of bread and of flesh. Isn't that amazing to you? Does that not reveal to you God's care? God knows what we have need of. God created us. And the Creator God knows what we have need of. And we find that as God would make this command, he'd make this this promise to Elijah, and he would command the ravens to feed him, that Elijah sat in that place, and Elijah, he experienced the blessing of God, the provision of God. God's care was evidenced for Elijah through this sustenance, this food that was provided. I would say to you this morning that God is able to sustain his children, no matter the circumstances, God is able. And though the circumstances there in Cherith were, and in Israel, broadly speaking, the circumstances were going to continue to deteriorate. Why? Because there's no rain. There's no dew. The judgment, the divine judgment of God is upon the nation because of their wickedness, because of their idolatry, because of their sin. And God is withholding the rain from them. And we find that here is Elijah over by this brook Cherith, and he's eating and he's drinking because God cares about him. And God's care is evidenced in his life. You say, but Pastor, the brook dries up. I know. And I would submit to you this morning that God knew about that as well. And God had a plan. Listen, it did not surprise God when the brook dried up. God knew that the brook would dry up. Why? Because there was no rain. God knew. And God had a plan. And we'll look at the next message as God's care continues to be evidenced in the life of Elijah and how God works. But as we begin to think about God's guidance and God's sustenance in the life of Elijah and how it reveals to us and reminds us of the fact that God cares about his servants, I want you this morning to recognize that God cares about you as an individual. He cares about you. I've heard people say, no one cares about me. Ever heard anyone say that? I've heard people say, no one loves me. Ever heard somebody say that? Should cause you to have a heart that's sorrowful when you hear somebody say that. Listen, I can tell them that God cares about them and God loves them. And as we look at God's Word, we find this morning that God cares about us. Look over at 1 Peter. I know it's a familiar verse, but I want you to turn there, and I want you to see it in your Bible this morning. And I want you to be reminded of this great truth that God gives us in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And then we're going to go to the book of Luke and look at a couple of portions of Scripture that I hope encourage you this morning. That yes, we can look back to an Old Testament portion of Scripture, and we can rejoice in knowing that God cares for His servants, that God cares for His people. But listen, it's not just that God cares about Elijah. This morning, God cares about you personally. You say, Pastor, I'm going through a situation. I have this going on, and I have all of this turmoil and all of this uncertainty. God knows and God cares about you. And as you seek the face of God and as you surrender to His Lordship in your life, then He will provide you with the guidance that you need. And as you follow Him day by day and you trust Him to lead you, He will prove Himself capable and worthy. Notice the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, again, a very familiar verse of Scripture. The Bible says this, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. It's a simple verse of Scripture. You've seen it maybe on some artwork. You've seen it maybe on a mug or some other piece of everyday type of item that we would use as a reminder to people. But I want you to see that God's Word, remember the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us. And here, a very simple verse of Scripture says this to the people of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What do we know about the people that Peter is writing to here in the book of 1 Peter? Well, we know that there are people that are scattered abroad. We know that there are people that are dealing with great adversity, of people that are dealing with great persecution, of people that are trying to serve God under the time in which Nero is ruling, and what a cruel leader he was. And we find that they're dealing with all types of difficulties and hardships and all these things that are going on. The Bible speaks of their sufferings within the text of Scripture. But Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a precious truth of God's Word. Turn to the book of Luke, if you will, in chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. We're going to look at a few verses of Scripture here in Luke 12 as we close this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And I believe in these two portions of chapter 12 that we'll look at this morning, we're reminded of God's great care for us. As you're turning there to Luke 12, I thought it was of interest, and I wanted to reference the verse of Scripture, though you do not need to turn there, but in Psalm 147 in verse number 9, the Bible says that He, speaking of the Lord, giveth to the beast His food and to the young ravens which cry. It's of interest to me that in Psalm 147 and verse number 9 that God reminds us that He provides for the beast and for the young ravens. But it was God who used the ravens to provide for His servant. Here in Luke chapter number 12, notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. The Bible says in verse number 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. He says this in verse number 12, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Notice what he says, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You're of more value. I'm thankful that God has placed value on humanity. I'm thankful for the value that God has placed upon humanity. This morning, as we think about the truth that we are valuable to God, I've said this often, but it's worth repeating, that we have value, humans have value, for two very obvious biblical reasons. One, because we're made in the image of God. If you remove the teaching, the truth of creation, then man all of a sudden does not have value. If you follow Darwinian evolution, man does not have value. But if you follow biblical creation and you understand that God said, "Let us make man in our own image," and He made them male and female, that you find that man has value because we're made, created in the image of God. And the value of mankind was demonstrated at a place called Calvary. When God, in the person of Jesus Christ, went to a cruel cross, He bled and He died. He was buried and He rose again, but He paid a price because mankind is valuable. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. No, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And here we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, He speaks about the sparrows that are sold and how that not one of them is forgotten before God. And then He says this, can you imagine? We're familiar with this thought, this truth that is given in verse number 7, where the Bible says even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. But I want you to think about the original audience to this particular truth. I want you to think about Jesus teaching and those that are gathered, and Jesus saying, for the very first time that they heard this, that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, we know it, we've read it, we're familiar with it, we've heard somebody say it before, and so we understand it. But I want you to think about those original audience folks that were there when they first heard Jesus say this. Isn't that amazing? That God knows the number of the hairs on your head? Have you ever tried to count the number of the hairs on your head? Why would you try? I often joke that God has to subtract for me. I'm not growing any new hair. I'm losing it. Holly's giving me a haircut the other day. She said, "Honey, you're getting more gray." I was like, "Well, at least it's gray." Because it just keeps falling out. But the reality is that God knows the number of hairs on your head. Now think about that. It's amazing. And He says this at the end. He says, "Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Skip down, if you would, to verse number 22 here in Luke chapter number 12. Notice the Bible says in verse 22, "And He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." And then He says this in verse 24, "Consider the ravens." As I look here at the passage of Scripture, and I see where Jesus says to them, "Consider the ravens," and you begin to think about the use of ravens in the Bible, and we know that Noah, he sent out a raven, and it doesn't come back, and what have you, the dove comes back, but the raven didn't. And you find here that now you think about Elijah and the ravens in 1 Kings 17 that we studied, and here Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and He says, "Consider the ravens." And He says this, "For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn." And notice these words, "And God feedeth them." God feeds them. But then it says this, "How much more are ye better than the fowls?" Listen, God created the fowls of the air. We can read the creation account in Genesis chapter number 1, and we can understand that God created the fowls of the air. And we understand that God cares for them. He feeds them. But He then says, as He gives this teaching to the disciples, and He tells them that they can look at this earthly thought, this truth of the ravens, and as they would consider the ravens, and here He says that God feedeth them, and then He says to His disciples, "How much more are ye better than the fowls?" Now, I want to remind you of a question that the disciples asked to the Lord during a time in which they suffered in a great storm. I mentioned earlier when I spoke about the guidance of the Lord, how that God provided the disciples with guidance to get into a boat and go to the other side, and they encountered a storm. The first time that happened, or that wasn't the first time that that situation happened. They were in more than one storm there on the Sea of Galilee. But in one particular instance, when they're in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, it wasn't that Jesus sent them without and then he comes walking on the water. It's that he's with them in the boat. And as he's with them in the boat, they face this great storm, and Jesus is what? He's sleeping. Can you see the panic of the disciples as you read the text of Scripture? And they come to Jesus frantically, and they awake him out of sleep, and they say this, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Oh no, Jesus did care. He does care. And we find that he rebuked the wind and the storm, the waves, and there's a great calm. Here we find that God says to these same disciples, "How much more are ye better than the fowls?" I'd say to you this morning that God, he cares about you. His care is evidenced through his guidance. Say, "Man, I need some direction in my life. I know the one that you need to seek." Say, "The Lord knows everything. Everything. He is the all-wise God. And he wants to provide you with guidance, direction in your life." And then his care is evidenced through his sustenance. Here, God tells us that he feeds the ravens. But in 1 Kings 17, God used the ravens to feed his servant. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing to me to understand God's great care for us. The songwriter said this, "Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care?" If you were to read through the song, you would see in that song great sorrow that was encountered by the songwriter. But as you read and you get into the chorus of that song, yes, he cares. I know he cares. This morning, you're dealing with some difficulties in your life, when you're dealing with some troubles, remember, God cares about you. He cares about you, and he provides guidance and sustenance, and it reveals to us his greatness. He's able to care for each and every one of us, all of the believers all over the universe, all at the same time, and provide you with guidance in your life with where you are, while providing guidance in someone else's life over here for where they are, and guidance for this. It's amazing how great our God is and how personal our God is. This morning, rest in knowing that God cares for you. We see it evidenced in Elijah's life. I hope that you've experienced in your own life to know God cares. God cares about me personally. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together to sing praise to your name, to open your precious book. God, we thank you that you care about us. You care for us. God, I pray that you'd help us to seek your face for guidance and leadership, direction. I pray that we would acknowledge this morning that we need your guidance. If we do not first acknowledge our need for guidance, we'll never seek you for it. Help us to not lean on our own understanding. Help us, Lord, to trust you and obey you. Help us to respond to the guidance that you provide and the manner in which Elijah responded in immediate obedience. Lord, help us to know that you care for us and you will provide sustenance. You will sustain us. no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, you'll provide for us. You know what we need. You've made us. You formed us. And your provision reminds us of your care. Help us to cast all our care upon you, knowing that you care for us. I pray, Lord, that this morning you'd help us to rest in being reminded of your great care for us. I pray that you'd move and work in hearts and lives. Maybe there's some that need guidance. They need direction in their lives. Maybe there's some that maybe they've said those words that we mentioned a moment ago, no one cares about me. Maybe they feel like, because of the storms that are raging in their life, no one cares about them. God, would you help them to find refuge in your great care? Help them to be encouraged this morning to trust you and to obey you. I pray that you'd move and work in hearts and lives as only you can. If there's one that's not sure of heaven, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. Well, thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand?